Up next is Seraphim Swordmaster.
Toxic Dreams by Quasi89. He was old. His age far exceeded the number of trees that dotted the blasted rainforest of Ferngully, which sprawled out below Mount Warning like a grotesque carpet of poisonous fungus. The fairies he knew were responsible for all of the life. Hexus watched, daily, as the pesky winged flies darted about the foot of Mount Warning, where they sprouted magic and foliage whenever they flitted amongst the humans, who they conversed with whenever they felt such pointless contact with the mortals was essential. Hexus's detestation was fueled by the fairies' improper behavior. Two different species should never come into contact with each other. He knew this rule as well as any other forest creature should. With the fairies behaving so unruly lately, the very laws and foundations of the forest were being broken. Stories were being rewritten. Nature was even more unpredictable than before. To let all of this happen so suddenly was a mighty transgression. The fairies had no more excuses to defend themselves with. He had warned them. His reign of destruction would fall down upon their world in a short period of time! Hexus amused himself with these, his own ruminations, with malicious joy and contempt. One day, he decided to put his plans into motion. He carpeted his vast shadow across the facade of Mount Warning. He rained his poison across the land, confident of his plan. He hadn't expected anyone to defy his clout. Majilune, the fairy's aged guardian, gave him the surprise of his timeless existence. Krista shuddered. Waking from her fretful slumber, she blinked her groggy emerald eyes. Stretching, she extended her arms and yawned. Plagued by worry, she could only stare numbly out of the opening which donned the upper half of her tree. For the past several months, she had been having nightmares. Lustful and dark. They plagued her every night, taunting her with whiffs of lustful vapors and passionate temptations. She didn't know why the dreams bothered her. They were harmless enough, and she rather enjoyed the sick satisfaction they gave her. She just didn't care too much for the demonic creature the dreams were centered around. Hexus! She knew it was him. Somehow, even after his demise, he had found a way to get back at her. He was turning her into a sinful, sex-crazed fairy, and she didn't like it one bit!
Hey, Krista, what's up?
Startled out of her reverie, Krista jumped. She gaped stupidly at Pips, who was hovering over her bed of leaves. His childish voice was distracting.
Hey, Pips!
She absentmindedly flung a hand up at him in recognition. Standing up, she placed her palms on her hips. Glaring, she demanded,
"What are you doing here?"
Pips smiled crookedly.
"I was just seeing what you were up to. Wanna go skylarking today?"
He cocked his head of red hair toward the outside world of the forest. Krista followed his gaze. She narrowed her brow.
"Why me?"
Pips spluttered.
"Well, I just thought you'd like to go."
He stomped his bare feet angrily.
"What's gotten into you lately, Krista?"
Krista sighed.
"I've been having these dreams lately,"
she admitted. Starting to pace back and forth, she struggled to find the appropriate way to describe her nightmares to Pips without him getting rattled. Pips actually seemed interested.
"Dreams, huh?"
He leaned back against the bark of the tree.
"What kind of dreams?"
Krista closed her eyes.
"Well, they go like this."
She didn't go into great detail. She didn't reveal who she thought her dream lover was. She just told Pips how the dreams made her feel. When she was finished, Pips seemed pleased with her description.
"Sounds like just a regular old nightmare to me,"
he concluded. Fluttering over to her, he patted her fondly on the shoulder.
"Don't worry about it, babe. Let's go."
He darted out of the tree.
"Babe!"
Krista shouted after him. Zack had called her babe first. Why was Pips using human terms all of a sudden? Thoughtfully running a finger through her short, raven black hair. Krista launched herself out of the tree, soaring towards the canopy. She balanced her arms out in front of her and cruised after Pips. During the flight, Krista took time to think. She reminisced about the old days. She remembered Magi Loon. The old woman's stories ran through her conscience. The one tale Krista mostly recalled was the tale of Hexus's destruction.
Magi trapped him within the great tree,
Krista remembered.
Then I put a stop to him again several years ago. Doesn't this guy ever quit?
Her unvoiced question was answered several minutes later. Lost in her musings, Krista had fallen far behind Pips. She couldn't find him anywhere. She was searching desperately for him when her head struck the branch. When Krista came to, she found herself in blackness. Smoke enveloped her in waves. Blinded by the smolder, she coughed. As she always did in these fantasies, she felt trapped and humiliated. A cold laughter washed over her. Now familiar with the mad cackling, she awkwardly rose to her feet, which were swallowed by the blackness that lurked beneath her.
Ah, you come to me yet again, my sweet, delicate little flower.
The deep, seductive voice emanated from every direction. Krista shuddered.
Where are you?
She frantically careened her head. Hexus continued to laugh.
I'm not far,
he teased. Krista toppled over backwards when the face of destruction abruptly appeared within the folds of the ominous shadows. Winking one of his bottomless eye sockets at her, he rumbled.
What brings you here today?
Chillily, Krista hunched her thin arms around her tiny waist. Wishing she wore a less revealing outfit, she huffed.
Well, what do you think? I've bashed my head and now everything's out of whack. Why are you doing this to me?
Humming contently to himself, Hexus emerged from the shadowy realm. His colossal frame towered over Krista.
I'm doing this out of love, dear,
he replied, his rich, smoothing accent sent a wave of cascading shivers all over Krista's body.
But I can't love you! I'm not supposed to love you! Why are you doing this to me?
She was desperate. She hated being desperate.
It's not me, my dear. It's you. You actually feel guilty for finishing me off. I'm your conscience.
Hexus revealed he was greatly enjoying himself. Krista screeched.
You're lying! I wouldn't feel guilty for finishing you off! You died fair and square!
Hexus shook his head.
I'm sorry, dear. I was unfairly finished off. Twice, I might add. Your magi locked me away first, remember that?
He extended a smoky finger towards her face. Krista shivered when he trailed the digit down her bewildered expression.
It was your fault, though! If you hadn't tried to kill off my kind, magi wouldn't have had a reason to lock you away!
She reminded him, smiling unexpectedly. His soft touch was actually starting to feel pretty fine.
Oh no, dear, that's not what happened. The fairies changed the course of nature. I warned them. They didn't listen.
He sighed mournfully.
It was their fault entirely.
He hung his head.
I don't believe that!
Krista began. Her sentence was cut off by Hexus. Without warning, he had scooped her up in one of his enormous hands. He caressed her wings gently. Krista was losing herself in the touch when she finally decided to put an end to it all.
Stop it! I love Pips, not you! I don't feel guilty, just leave me alone!
She struggled to free herself from his crushing grip, but her futile attempts to escape only enticed him further.
Krista, my darling, you worry too much,
the demon muttered. He swallowed her! Pips anxiously watched Krista, squeezing her cold hands within his trembling fingers. He whispered hoarsely,
"Please, Krista, wake up! I didn't mean to leave you!"
He quietly began to sob. Batty had found her first. After meeting up with Pips a while back, the energetic Bat had informed his panpipe-playing friend of Krista's mishap. Not for the first time, Pips was grateful for Batty's companionship.
"Keep trying, dude!"
Batty encouraged Pips, who sighed.
"Hush, Batty! I think she's waking up!"
he cried excitedly. He held his breath as Krista's eyes fluttered open.
"Hi, Pips,"
she whispered. A slow smile played across her full red lips. Pips grinned from ear to ear.
"It's good to have you back,"
he said. That night, free of Hexus's nightmares, Krista rose from her green bed once more. Immediately, she swept her eyes over her cozy abode, searching for Pips.
"I'm not far,"
he promised. Crouching at her side, he kissed her comfortingly across the cheek.
"How about one right here?"
she asked, pointing a finger at her paled lips. Pips grinned wildly and lowered his mouth towards hers. The end. Author's note. First, I would like to thank Open Season Girl 500 and Chrissy 232 for those reviews. They were great. I hope everyone enjoyed this story, even though it was a bit short.
Oh, Chagachi.
That was awful.
The surprise of his timeless existence.
You died fair and square.
Okay, I like this one. It sounded like a legit book on tape to me. Maybe a little overacting, and it has this rhythm you kept doing. I don't know why you kept talking like this and then going big on every other second or so. You did this, and then went quieter, and then went big, and then slowed it down. Also, your girl voice was unnecessary and bordering on mocking the author. I did like your Hexus.
Yeah. It was funny, though, because, like, the first line you said after you said your first Texas line, it was more in the Hexus voice than the lines you were reading. But it doesn't matter, because I liked your Hexus voice anyways. But Tim Curry was well within your range, is all I'm saying.
I don't think that the girl voice was a good idea.
The girl voice was not a good idea. Sadly, I have heard voices just as bad used in actual audio tapes.
I haven't. I don't listen to crap audiobooks.
audiobooks is what I meant to say. The noises in the beginning that Krista was making, though, were funny.
Go ahead.
Oh, you didn't read the chapter, like, numbers, like, 1, 2, 3. I would like to know what chapter these are. This was not all one thing. They were...
So you can go back and get it, read it over and over.
Yeah, so I know where I left off, because God knows I can't make it through one chapter in one sitting.
I never want to go through any more of this ever.
And then you changed why the dreams to why these dreams, and the other way around. And you added now to a phrase, and you said, "It's not me, my dear," instead of "It's not me, dear." And you said grateful instead of thankful. As far as the way you were reading, I liked it at first. I liked that you were going all dark and creepy and everything, but then you went dark and creepy the entire time. You sort of relented when Pips first arrived, but... yeah. You could have laid off of that. I did, for the most part, like it, though.
Wasn't huge on it. Didn't hate it, didn't like it.
All right.
I think that girl voice for me is
killed
really...
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I was the author, I don't think I would be pleased with this.
No, I'd have you read it in, like, okay. The way I hear most guys read female voices in audiobooks is you basically effeminate your voice without going high pitch. I'm sure Dylan could demonstrate if he wanted.
I talk like that normally.
I like it when you mock yourself.
You don't even need to, like, Doing voices is not entirely necessary in the first place.
No, it's not. Just characterize your voice.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We're only eliminating two people tonight, so we'll see.